wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
The greatest wonder in all the universe. In ancient times, there were the seven great wonders of the world. But what man considered a wonder then receives but passing notice today. In these days of scientific research, new wonders are so frequent they cannot be numbered by seven or by 70 times seven. One day your eyes shall behold the greatest wonder in all the universe of God. That wonder so far exceeds all others, there is no comparison. Three things I will prove to you. First, this wonder is beyond comparison. Second, this wonder will so entrance you, you will count all else but as only dust. Third, this wonder, when once seen, will so captivate you, you will want to move where you can behold it forever, world without end. This wonder is not a work of man's art, a religious temple, or a phenomenon of nature. What is it? Neighbor, just come with me, and I will show you the greatest wonder in all God's universe. Neither a boat nor an airplane can convey us. We must rise above this old world, leaving its skyscrapers and mountains far behind us. We must whiz by sun, moon, and stars, leaving far behind us the constellations unseen by earth. Then we must enter the pearly gates of heaven itself, the very dwelling place of God. As we enter, we feel strange. We are in God's presence. All is light. But God is spirit, and we cannot see him. We are surrounded by legions of angels and archangels. We are in the presence of the cherubim and seraphim of heaven. The gold, the splendor, the glory, all are so amazing, beyond the fairest dreams of earth. Then you say, this is it. God's heaven is the greatest wonder. No, it is not. We stand before a beautiful veil. Neighbor, now look, and the greatest wonder you shall see. The veil moves, and we see heaven's highest throne, and on that throne there sits a man, a real man. He is not an unseen spirit, but a man with flesh and blood and bones, with eyes and hands, with face and feet. He moves, he sees, he speaks. Who is he? He is Jesus. As Stephen was being stoned to death, God moved the veil, and Stephen cried, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Having had that sight, chains could not hold Stephen to earth. And when Peter and John and James saw Jesus transfigured in glory, they wanted to build tabernacles and just stay there all their days. And those on earth today who have by faith had a glimpse of that lovely man in the glory, this world's riches and thrills charm them no longer. They just long to go to be with Jesus and to look on his lovely face. They hanker not after the gold or pearls of heaven. It is Jesus, the man on the throne, who has won their hearts. To him, the living man in glory, there goes from earth the praise and adoration of those who love him. For him, his servants on earth suffer the loss of all things and endure persecution as they anticipate the day when they shall see his face, the real face of the man of Calvary, who is now the man on the throne. I am a minister of Christ. The Christ I preach to you is that man on heaven's highest throne, Jesus my Lord, the King of kings and Lord of lords. I call upon you to fall at his feet and to surrender to him as your Lord. He who is the wonder of the universe, is he not worthy of your faith and love? I call upon you to depend on no one else, neither yourself, your priest, nor your pastor, to trust in nothing, neither your lodge or your church, but cast yourself upon him alone, the man Christ Jesus, who is the one mediator between God and men, to be your Savior. How did that man get on that throne? There is a thrilling story behind that question, and I want to tell it to you while you are still looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Jesus, the man on the throne. He is God, very God, but God is spirit, and our eyes could not see him, nor our hands handle him. And so he became, being God, became man. From eternity, heaven had its gold and glory, its light and splendor, its angels and archangels, but there was no man in heaven. Then he who is God came into the world to save sinners, and he became man. To redeem man, he must become man. To die, he had to have a real human body, for death cannot touch a spirit. To cleanse us from our sins, he must partake of flesh and blood. How did it happen? This much I can tell you of that great mystery. A babe was born of a virgin woman, conceived by the Holy Spirit, yet he was her real son. A babe came forth from a womb with a real human body of flesh and blood and bones, holy yet human, divine and still a genuine man, son of God and son of man. God gave him the name of Wonderful, for in that manger was the first visibility of heaven's greatest wonder. That babe nursed his mother's breast and grew. He ate as others ate. His body was so genuinely human, he was unnoticed by most. He was so really a man-child, he was circumcised. And being truly human, he was touched with our sorrows, and he always went about doing good, healing man's diseases and comforting the distressed. His words were with grace and power, and he did work such as never man did. Then he announced his mission. He came to be our Savior. As the good shepherd, he would give his life for his sheep. As our sin bearer, he would die for our sins. He would bring us salvation by the sacrifice of himself. And the wonder of his birth was excelled by his wonderful death. At Calvary, our hearts are moved as we see that man, so truly a man. His body was spiked to a cross, a spear thrown into his side, and his blood poured forth. The earth drank it in to hold it for a season. His body was carried off to a rock tomb and sealed up fast. Here we pause. If that ended the story, you and I would have no hope. Our only hope was in God becoming man with a real human body and redeeming us. That night was dark. Heaven was emptied of its glory, and death had left a lifeless body in a tomb and the blood of that body in the earth. Then he arose. The rock tomb broke asunder as he passed through. His blood was not licked up by dogs, as with wicked Jezebels, nor did one human foot trample it, nor did it corrupt and gather flies. With the same care that God was guarding that body, that it saw no corruption, so with that blood. It was the lifeblood of our Savior, laid down in sacrifice. But he said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again." And he arose, taking again that blood with his flesh and bones, not one cell missing. Death could not hold one drop of blood or 1 ounce of flesh and say, "I held this." He arose, and with his human body, he ascended into heaven. There he held up to God his own blood as the token of his real humanity, the evidence of his sacrifice, and the proof of his victory. God set him on that highest throne. Jesus took the throne, as the Bible says. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. This is the story behind that man on the throne. We can in exultation sing, "He wears our nature on the throne," while angels look on in wonder. I see his very hands with the marks of Calvary. Behind the glory and beauty of his lovely face, I see a line that tells of the deep sorrow he knew at Calvary. A line that is as clear as the nail prints in his hands. Oh, how he suffered for me. Neighbor, have you come with me? Have you seen that greatest wonder? Have you heard that story of redeeming grace? I hope you have. But how can I know? When I see you fall on your face like Saul of Tarsus when he saw the man in the glory, and you too confess him as your Lord, crying, "Lord Jesus, I will be thine. What wilt thou have me to do?" Then I will know that the veil has been taken away, and you too have seen the man in the glory. But neighbor, if you will not look to him but turn away, then I have sad news for you. One day your eyes will see him, and you cannot turn away. Your knees will bow to him, and your mouth must confess that same Jesus on the throne as Lord of all. If I am different from others, this is the reason. I have seen the man in the glory, and as I surrendered to him, he whispered to me, as I live, ye shall live also. Go back to earth, live there for me until I come again and receive you unto myself, and you shall be like me and see my glory forever and ever. Neighbor, how could I be the same after that? I could not, nor could you. If you aren't different, then you have never met the man in the glory. Cry to God, oh God, open my eyes that I may behold that lovely man, Jesus in the glory, and that I might love him too. As I preach unto you Christ Jesus the Lord, the wonder of all heaven and earth, I now challenge you, what will you do with Jesus, the man on the throne? I hope you will right now make a complete surrender to him, saying, Lord Jesus, I will be thine forever. Neighbor, get out your calendar and encircle today on it. Why? Oh, what a day. As you heard this message, the Holy Spirit made it real to your soul. As God sought to draw you to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for you to love him as the altogether lovely one, for you to trust him as your Savior, even dying for your sins, and for you to yield yourself to him to obey and serve him, and for your very life to be wrapped up with the man on the throne, the wonderful, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. What is your response? I hope it is, Lord Jesus, please receive me to be thine own, as I now receive thee and confess thee as my Lord and my Savior. Then this day you will remember as the day of all days in your life, the day when you pass from death unto life. But if after all you have heard, you declare, I have decided to go on my own way without Jesus Christ, then this day on your calendar will be remembered for all eternity as the day when you turn down the Lord Jesus Christ. And by that decision, you seal your doom, the doom of your precious soul. The devil didn't do it. You did it. Neighbor, face these solemn and eternal facts and decide wisely. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.